friends. Welcome to Sky House Herbs Podcast. I'm Ashley Ellenboss, a clinical herbalist, and in this space, I share my knowledge and experience with plant medicine to help you on your own journey of healing and transformation. Join me in exploring the ancient wisdom of plant spirit medicine and how it can be used to heal the body, mind, and spirit. We'll talk to experts in the field and share stories from people who've been transformed by powerful plant allies. New episodes are released each Monday, so please subscribe. And now, let's explore this mystical world of plant medicine together. Hey everyone, welcome in. Today we'll be talking about negativity, the four main elements, and herbs, and some tips and practices that have helped me over the years in overcoming negativity spirals. And sometimes I call them the death spiral. Which is easy to get into when things get really, really hard. Before we dive into today's content, if you haven't already subscribed to my channel, please do that. I know so many of you have. So thank you. Thank you. It helps more people to find me and this work and more people to learn about plants and their amazing powers and medicines. So thank you for that. Also, if you like this video, click the like button and share it with a friend if you think they might find it helpful as well. So let's start by first talking about negativity. What is negativity? What is it not? And how does it affect us? I want to say that, first of all, my concept and my construct, I should say, of negativity really comes from more of an Eastern way of viewing the body, which is that our body is made out of not just nuts and bolts and bones and flesh, but it's also made up of energy, that the body has a lot of space in it, and that our body holds information in more subtle ways than just in the brain, that our bodies somatically hold experiences and patterns, not only in our flesh, but in the spaces between. And this is something that became very clear to me as a yoga practitioner of over 25 years. Also, my studies in Ayurveda, a little bit of dabbling in Chinese medicine, has really helped me to see the body a little bit more for what I should say it isn't, right? Than what it physically is. That so much of our physical body that we know it as, or we think of it as, is actually much more subtle and is much more influenceable than we might imagine. And there's a great book out. I know I've been talking about this a lot lately. Deepak Chopra's new book, The Quantum Body. If you're interested in learning more about the Eastern philosophy of the body, and how science and physics and quantum mechanics is actually proving the nature of the body as more of an energetic conglomeration of patterns. You might really like that book. It's available as an audiobook as well. So when I talk about negativity, I think that negativity is simply a way that we have patterned experiences and the way we perceive an experience. So a lot of negativity has to do with the state of our consciousness. And so if our consciousness is kind of dull and maybe a little bit less refined, then everything that is not comfortable is going to be seen as bad, right? The knee pain, bad. Sick, bad. Whatever it is, lost the job, bad. And I'm not saying that these things are not in some way uncomfortable and not great, not happy, not positive. But as long as we label in our minds, it's not what we tell others, but as long as we perceive things in our body and things in our environment and things in our lives as negative or bad, we send ourselves down a very specific neurological pathway that basically supports and entrenches more deeply in that these things that we're going to start lumping together as we go through life are bad experiences that do bad things and that stop us, thwart us, or prevent us or block us in some way from happiness. And Do I want bad things to happen to me? No. If you saw my video last week, we just had to put our dog to sleep. It was awful. It was a bad experience in a lot of ways because I loved our dog. She was only 10, and for her breed, she should have lived longer. I miss her all the time. I look around the house and I feel her absence, and I look at my other dog and she's looking around for Rhea, and it's not, this is not a happy time in my life right now as I'm grieving. But as long as I can stay open-minded and not say it was a bad thing, and I can just say this is a challenging thing for these many reasons. And there's also been some positives from this whole very intimate experience with death. I've learned a lot about life because of death. I've learned a lot about love because of losing love. And I'm learning how important it is for me to spend quality time with those I love while they're alive, my children, my husband, my living dog, my plants, right? My friends. It is helping me grow. And I've also, it's been so weird. Grief is such a weird thing. Maybe some of you've experienced this too, but I think when our emotional body gets traumatized in some way, and I'm lack of a better word, I guess it gets impacted. Let's say that when our emotional body gets impacted in a very strong way, it doesn't just stop in our emotional body. It affects our physical body. And for me, my hips are so achy. I've never had hip pain like this before, but it started in my left hip. Now it's in my right hip, my lower back, my jaw, it feels bruised. I have no idea why. I'm sick with a cold. My daughter is sick with a ear infection. It's like the impact of emotional change impacts the physical body because they're not separate. The mind, the emotions, and the physical body are all connected in. And so, while I could say from a certain perspective, look at all these bad things that are happening, is that going to, if I know for myself, if I get stuck in thinking of this as all of these bad things, then I'm limiting my ability to learn from them, to grow from them, and to ultimately be able to move out of them. Now, with my hip pain and my low back pain and my jaw, like my body's telling me, Ashley, you need to rest. Am I doing a good job listening? Moderate, because I don't like resting. But my body's telling me what my whole being needs, my whole quantum body has needs right now because it's going through a big change. We could call it a bad change or a good change. I'm gonna leave those labels off because I don't know. All I know is that there's change. It's like, the butterfly, well, the caterpillar before it becomes a butterfly, it becomes goo. It becomes this disgusting mess of like potential nothingness, right? Like basically the whole body of the caterpillar and the cocoon, or I guess they don't call it a cocoon, it's called a chrysalis, completely turns to mush, and then everything reorganizes and then it forms into a new body. Do you think that's comfortable? Probably not. Do you think that there has to be some dissociation? Probably. There's a lot of coping mechanisms that have gone into place to allow this incredible change to happen. So that this new form can take place. And, is it bad that its body completely falls apart? Maybe, but maybe it's also just part of its nature. And for me, in understanding the quantum body, I just realized my mic was across the room. Oh, well. So my experience of the quantum body is that it is designed to change all the time. I'm aging every second. So are you. Guess what? Like every moment you're sitting here listening to this, your body is changing. It is adapting. It is aging. Cells are dying. Cells are being born. So to think that, is it bad? I think about my grandmother. She's 93.
Is it bad that she's aging? No, she's an incredible woman. All of the wisdom from her 93 years on this planet, it's not bad, but she's changing and she's wisening and she's metamorphosizing into an elder. And that's exactly what she's here to do. That's her dharma, that's her life. And so I've been thinking so much about this topic since I have been wanting to slip into negativity. And honestly, I have. Last night on the couch with my husband, I was like, this is all shit. Because I go into this place, I have three planets in Aries, and I just get mad when I get sick and when things like this happen. So, it's this constant back and forth between is negativity and positivity, and then coming back to the curiosity of I just don't know. So one of the things I wanted to say about this idea of negativity, clearing negativity, working with negativity is that our constitution plays a role in how we cope and where we tend to go in our own negativity. And I noticed this with some of my girlfriends. They have certain lands they like to visit because of their own individual temperaments. And I thought it might be helpful for me to go through the four main elements as they're described in the Greek system, which is the way that I use them in my practice and the way I use them with herbal medicine, to go through the four main elements and talk about how these elements tend to like the where they tend to shift and go in their consciousness, what happens in the body, and ways that we can help counter this to move people out of these negative spirals. And I'm going to include, practices as well, because I think that, the herbs are great, and sometimes we need rituals that can also shift the energy along a bit. So let's now talk about fire. We'll start with fire as an element. Now, how will you know if you have fire? Well, one thing you can do is you can look at your birth chart and just see if your sun, moon, and rising signs, those are the sort of top three, if there's a predominance of fire there. Or you could even look, at your general birth chart and just see how many planets do you have in a fire sign. Other ways you can tell if you're not into astrology is just, do you tend to run hot? Do you tend to have a more of a red, flushed face? Do you tend to anger more quickly? Do you tend to get really willful and dominating and domineering when you don't like the way things are going? So with fire, the negative spiral usually goes something like, this sucks. I hate this all. This is making me angry. I'm so frustrated. Like it's someone else's fault. God's fault. That's an easy one to point the finger at. The physical tendencies for fire when it's out of balance in this negative spiral is inflammation. It tends to get like like for me, like I'm having inflammation in my joints. It tends to have difficulty maybe with sleep, but more because of agitation, and excess heat, and then cravings for more heat, which is such a weird thing. You'd think, oh, if you're overheated and inflamed, your body would want cool things. No, when you're in that negative spiral, you're going to reach towards more caffeine, more chocolate, more sugar. And so that's, if you're craving those things, that's a sign that you're starting to go into that fire spiral. Other things that can happen is burnout, exhaustion, rage. Those are all fire tendencies. Now, what about water? So, if you have a dominance of water in your chart, if you tend to be more of an emotional person, if you tend to take on the emotions in the room, if you tend to just be very kind of fluid and watery by nature, very empathetic, and maybe you tend a little bit more towards being cool, temperature-wise, Maybe you hold on to water a little more. You tend towards edema or swelling a little bit more easily, towards weight gain a little more easily, especially with maybe holding on to weight from emotional eating, things like that. Like the emotions really drive, and sadness is the dominant emotion of water. So if when you go into a negative spiral, it's tears, it's sadness, it's trying to comfort yourself with foods and binge watching and things that just sort of feed you in some way, then those are all signs that you are emoting and in a very watery place. This can also happen. This can also manifest in the body as diarrhea or just lots of fluids flowing out, excess urination. It can show up as congestion or lots of mucus in the face, in the lungs. So just look for ways that water gets stuck in the body or water is excessively flowing out. And that's going to point you more towards a water imbalance. And tears, I don't know if I said that already, but tears can be a big thing that happens for people that are more water dominant. For people that have more earth in them, you're going to look in your birth chart and look to see if you have more earth planets. This is going to be Taurus and Capricorn. And who's my other earth? Virgo. I should have said the other ones too, but let's go back. So, you know, your fire, if you have a lot of Leo, a lot of Aries, and who's my other fire? Leo, Aries, and Sagittarius. Those are the fire signs. For water, we have Cancer and Pisces and Scorpio. And for Earth, it's Taurus, Virgo, and Capricorn. So if you tend to hold on, if there's more constriction for you, when you get really emotionally triggered, you just clamp down, you get more stubborn, more stuck, more constricted, more tense. Hi, sweetie. Summer's home from school today because she's sick and I'm sick. And so she's here. Honey, can you go sit down over there while I finish up? Oh, it's over. Okay. 1 minute. So let's continue on with Earth. So this idea of constriction, right? And the muscles, the jaw, there's just tension. You know, Earth tends to come inward. It tends to constrict. And so maybe you have less blood flow, heart pains. You know, there's going to be just all of these different ways in the body that show up as tightness. And this can also show up as constipation, dryness, feelings of stuckness, being stubborn, right? Those are all very much earth. And then air is the last one. Air is the opposite of earth. So earth, so you think of fire goes up, it spreads like up and out. Water comes down and in. Earth goes in. Contracts in towards the center and air disperses out in all directions. So the air person, this is going to be your Libra, your Aquarius, and who is my other Libra, Aquarius? Who is my spring air? My brain is not working. You guys, I'll come to it in a minute. but this rules the nervous system. So all air is like the nervous system. So if for you in your negativity, it really goes into your mind or it goes into your nervous system, you get anxiety. Like anxiety is probably the classic air sign. Gemini, that's who it is. your classic air is very mental. It becomes very mental, very anxious, very agitated, very dissociative. So if for you, when things get really hard and negativity starts coming in, you get overwhelmed, you dissociate, you get spaced out, you forget things. There's mental confusion. Those are all signs that you are going into the air spiral. This also will often for people disturb sleep. Like it's really common for people with a lot of air or that air pattern to have sleep issues when they get really stressed out, nervous twitching, things like that. Yeah. And they'll have, you know, more bowel irregularities too, spasms, things like that will happen. So hopefully in these four patterns, fire, water, earth, and air, you've been able to identify which one is your main one. And you might have a few. You know, most of us have like two. We have like maybe one dominant and then one secondary. Or, you know, depending on the circumstances or the season, we might tend to go into one or another. So let's talk about what we can do to balance the negativity when we start to go into those places of imbalance. You know, in general, if you're experiencing a lot of fire, like a fire negativity imbalance, you know, you want to think about the opposite, which is water. So fire is hot and dry. So what are things you can bring in that are going to be moistening and cooling? And I was, you know, thinking about things that are going to disperse anger, that are going to disperse heat, are going to be really helpful. And so the herb that I thought of for this particular pattern of fire is bee balm. Sometimes it's called bergamot, or it's called in Latin, its Latin name is Monarda fistulosa. You can also use Monarda didymum, which is the red flower. Monarda fistulosa is the purple flower. But this was used by the Muscogee people of the Southeast and the East Coast here in the United States as an herb for dispersing anger. And what they would do is, if there was a fight in the house, or if there was a lot of negativity in the house, or violence, or anything like that, they would take a big pot of water and throw the wild bergamot in, and then let it steam and clear the negativity out of the house. Because they really believed that, like most Eastern traditions and more indigenous ways of understanding the body and understanding life, is that there are subtle fields that need to be cleared, you know, that that will hold imprints of information. And so by steaming a house, you can just start to permeate the air and the spaces with a new vibration. And bergamot is really good at dispersing heat, clearing out disturbance, clearing out negative thoughts and violence and things like that. So that was the one that I thought of that would be a really good plant for dispersing fire. You can also use it as a spray. And if you made like a tea, you could also just spray it around the house if you wanted to. Maybe add just a touch of witch hazel or a little alcohol to help it preserve. But just do that for a few days, and that can start to clear the air. You can also drink it as a tea, take it as a tincture. It will also disperse heat internally if it's taken as an herb. Now, the next one is water. So, if water is your main element, you want to disperse water, which can get stuck, you know, sadness especially. So, if we're thinking about sadness and that as the negative sticky point, rose is an amazing herb. And I just did last week, my herb of the month was rose. So, I would strongly recommend if you're a water person to listen to that. Because rose is cooling and drying, so it's astringent, so it's going to help hold better boundaries so that you don't take on so much. It also has thorns as a medicine, so it helps protect and create boundaries as well as holding boundaries. So it really, really works well for watery conditions. It's really good for soggy tissues. It can be really good as a compress if you have swelling around the eyes, swelling in the sinuses. You can try that. It's really nice as a bath. And I talk about one of my favorite recipes, which is rose as a cold water infusion. And just to give you a quick rundown of that is, you just take about half a cup of dried rose petals, organic. Put it into a quart-sized mason jar, fill it with cool water, let it sit for about 6 hours, and then strain and drink. If you tend to find that it's a little bit too drying, you can add a little marshmallow root. And I do have a recipe in my herb of the month. I'll include a link in that in the description. Another option is just having rose water. I think I let my daughter borrow mine, so it's not on my desk, but usually I have it on my desk. And that's just something you can use as a spray. You know, if you're feeling really sad, if you're feeling really stuck, that can be just a really uplifting way to help move energy and brighten the spirits a bit. What about air? If you tend to be a predominance of air and your negative death spiral is in your mind, thinking of all the worst things that are definitely going to happen, then I would recommend using an herb that's going to be very fortifying and calming for the mind. And one herb I thought of is American ginseng. And I was just listening to a talk with Phyllis Light, who's an incredible Southern traditional herbalist. She lives in Arab. Kentucky? No, Alabama. She's in Alabama and just an incredible, like, fifth generation herbalist. And she loves American ginseng. Her father used that plant for so many things. And she was talking about what a great medicine American ginseng is for the nervous system and for people that are burnt out, tired, mental agitation, just really needs something like a sweet grounding medicine. And for air people, sweet and grounding is the ticket. So I would recommend American ginseng as a tincture. You can also boil the roots as a tea. You can also try something like marshmallow root, which is very cool and moist and grounding. That can be really nice for helping you calm the nervous system. So those would be my go-to herbs for the air imbalance. And then lastly, what about earth? That constrictive. So if you tend to go into an earth spiral of stuckness, stubbornness, woe is me, melancholy, those sorts of depression types of symptoms, Angelica, Archangelica was the plant that really spoke to me. Because it's warming and it's aromatic, it really lifts and it disperses energy through the body. I also really like it because it's a plant of the dream time. And Matthew Wood talks about this as being used by the Native Americans. I think it's the Lakota. He says they use it as a dreaming medicine and they'll burn it as like an incense. They'll burn the dried root as an incense to help them vision and dream. And so, you know, if you're really stuck in that earth heaviness, sometimes burning incense or having something that's going to move the air and help you access your imagination and your airiness, your lightness of being can be really helpful. So Angelica, Archangelica, if you can't find that, there's also the Chinese Angelica, which is called Dong Quai, is very warming and stimulating. It moves blood really nicely. So you could take that as a tincture. And really, you just need a few drops, like maybe 3 drops of the tincture is a really nice way to move energy. It also will move the bowels and help release muscle tension, which are some of those patterns we talked about with that earth pattern. Now, some general practices overall that I think are going to really benefit everyone that's maybe stuck in a spiral or a state of negativity to really work on the subtle body and start to create new pathways of, perceiving your state of where you are and moving the vital force or the chi in the body. The number one, I had actually my top two is stillness and then gentle movement. So both of those practices are incredible and everyone benefits by getting still. So just sitting in a still place, if you can, silence is great. If you can't, put on some gentle music, maybe flute music or gentle drumming, but try to find a way that you can just sit still for an extended period of time. And you don't have to set a timer, but just as long as you can, as much space as you have available to you, just sit and be still and feel and breathe and see how that can really start to create a shift on all of the different levels of your mind and body. A second practice is yoga or gentle movement, and that can just be stretching. You don't have to know poses to get benefits, but if you can just lay down on the floor on your back and roll around for a few minutes, I promise you, just feeling your body and being like, oh, this feels good. Oh, that feels good. Let me stretch this way and that way. And if you can even just think about what are all the different ways I can move my spine, you know, there's many different planes of movement, forward, backward, side to side, twisting. Those are the major directions, but you can get creative and just find more ways of very gently moving and stretching your body with the breath. And that is very resetting for the nervous system, for the physical body, and for the energetic subtle body. Resetting your diet is also a great, this is a great opportunity. So if you're feeling that you're ready for some sort of change, that a metamorphosis is happening, you're in the goose stage and you're just like, okay, I need something different. Try just cleaning your diet up and trying to get back to whole foods. Can you steam some vegetables and cook some rice for a few days and just try to get your body out of maybe some of the cravings that have taken over, especially sugar, caffeine, alcohol, these sorts of patterns. Give your body a little bit of a break by eating a very, very simple diet. And this is not like a moral thing. This is just very simple. It gives your digestive system a chance to reset, your nervous system a chance to not be inundated by things that might be overly stimulating or overly depressing your nervous system. And just try it for a few days, see if that helps. Increasing water also is always a great idea when you're in a period of reset, just to help things flush and flow through. Another one is body scanning. I really like to do this. I've been doing this lately since I've been listening to Deepak Chopra's work on the quantum body. He has a on his YouTube channel, he talked about his own meditation practice and what he does every morning. I'll include a link to that in my description, but I've done that for a few days now, and it's really helpful just to sit and scan your body. And just starting by the physical body, your organs, scanning your bones, scanning your muscles. It's pretty incredible just doing a really full body scan, and you just keep taking it more and more into the more outer levels of your awareness. And then all of a sudden, you feel like your energy body has gotten huge because you've tapped into all these different realms that you're actually in reality connected to, but that our mind forgets that we can resource from. So I'll include a link to that body scan. You might find that to be helpful as a daily practice. And also baths. I just think that a nice warm bath is good for everyone. So if you can take a little extra time before bed, give yourself a good soak, maybe add in some Epsom salts or aromatherapy. That is also another nice way to kind of cleanse the auric field, the body, and then also help your muscles to soften and let go. So there we have it. That is today's talk. I hope you found this to be helpful. If you have questions, please feel free to leave them. I'm always happy to answer those in the comments section. And I will be launching my herbal apprenticeship. We'll be talking a lot about the elements in the year one course, which will be starting in April of this year, 2024. And so stay tuned for more information. You can go to my website, skyhouseherbs.com. I'll include a link where you can get on my mailing list, and I'll be announcing the launch of the program at the end of February. So it's coming really soon. Registration will open, and you can become a part of our online community. So I would love to see some of you there. And we have need-based tuition. So if finances are a challenge right now, we want everyone to be able to take and study our courses and study herbal medicine. So we'll make sure we find a way to help you. So stay tuned for more information. Thank you for your subscription to my channel. Thank you for liking my work. And thank you for doing your work as well. Bye, everyone.